This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. A new vision for the Boston waterfront. That's essentially how Mayor Marty Walsh describes his plan to protect the city from rising sea levels. Here's the mayor at the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce this morning.
It calls for 67 acres of new space and 122 acres of revitalized open space on the waterfront. It links to our Emerald Necklace and reflects the same values of public health, public access, and world-class design. It's a vision of a city more connected to our waterfront and to each other.
And Mayor Walsh is now on the line with us to tell us more. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me today.
So this plan that you outlined to the Chamber of Commerce today involves 67 acres of new space along 47 miles of shoreline?
Yeah. It really is about creating neighborhood level plans covering the entire shoreline that we have here in the city of Boston. We released Climate Ready South Boston. That's a plan to look at the South Boston waterfront. Today we also putting up two new RFPs for Climate Ready Dorchester and Climate Ready Downtown. Each area has resilient projects that need to be completed. Some of them have begun, some are proposed, and it really is looking at how do we handle what we've seen around the country, whether it's been Superstorm Sandy or Hurricane Harvey or Hurricane Maria or Florence or Michael. Those are the storms that have devastated parts of America and you know, caused deaths and billions of dollars in damage. And a lot of these, if we made some investments up front, those cities would be in better positions.
Mm-hmm. So describe a little bit of what this plan would include, some of the big parts of it.
I mean, a lot of them are big parts, but for example, we're looking at areas of the plan that we're making capital investments in the city of Boston, like in the North End with Langone Pupula Park. We're doing that park over. By raising that park up, allows us the opportunity to create almost like a barrier. It's open space. It's space that's going to be green space, and it's an opportunity for us to not just build new fields for the kids and people to play on, but it's also an opportunity to have resiliency and protect the North End. And Martin Richard Park down on the Four Point Channel, we're installing opportunities down there as well as we do that park over. And along with the Four Point Channel Park, that will preserve sea level rise in the Four Point Channel. We'll protect areas like South Boston and Dorchester and the Back Bay and other parts of our city that would be flooded if and when these floods and the sea level rises. Moakley Park, creating an opportunity in Moakley Park to protect three housing developments that are in that area and tens of thousands of other residents in those areas. So we're looking at different areas. So there's not one area that's bigger than the other. It really has to be a comprehensive look, and it is a comprehensive look at different parts of our city.
You know, a lot of us probably remember Morrissey Boulevard. When you mentioned Moakley Park, but Morrissey Boulevard in particular in these past winter storms, what's going to be happening there?
Morrissey Boulevard is another project. DCR has a plan that's going to elevate Morrissey Boulevard, which will help us with the flooding, but also allow it to be used as a buffer towards like the Savin Hill area of Dorchester and connecting Victory Road Park and Tinian Beach is another way, making those connections. Literally, it allows us the opportunity as we think about protecting the shoreline, protecting businesses and homes and opportunities. It also allows us the opportunity where the open space comes into play is we're using these natural resources as an opportunity not just to create a buffer but also create more open space and contiguous open space that allows people to be able to get closer and connected to the water.
So what's sort of the main strategy, would you say? What's the primary philosophy behind this vision?
I mean, I think the philosophy is protecting our assets, whether they're people or their businesses or it's economic development. And what we haven't had is that we've been doing a lot of work in this area over the last 4 years or 5 years since I've been mayor and before that, but we haven't had an overall plan on how we make these connections and how we truly do a universal, if you will, connection point. And the way I explained this today is that, you know, in New York after Sandy or in New Orleans after Katrina, there was resiliency built into those areas that if sea level rise happens or a superstorm storm surge happens, that they'd be prepared for today if they did it beforehand. And that's what we're doing. We're learning from what happened around the country. You do it beforehand, it's going to save investments. It's going to save FEMA for having to pay money back in disaster relief.
So when you're designing this plan of seawalls and natural barriers and elevated landscapes and all of this along 47 miles of shoreline here, I'm wondering what sort of predictions are you looking at in terms of how much sea level might rise along the shoreline in Boston?
There's studies that in certain parts of the city, it's going to, by the year 2070, there are going to be certain parts of our city that could be underwater if we do nothing. There was a study put out by scientists last week that showed that the world has to take action by 2040, or there'll be some significant issues around global warming and climate change that's happening.
So that's the United Nations report.
The United Nations report that came out the other day. Those are real reports, and those are real concerns for all of us. And you know, we're seeing great growth in our city and great investment in our city. And what we want to do is, and a lot of people, a lot of business owners have already, created opportunities, whether they put up sea barriers around their building or they've moved the utilities up in the building. And as I said today, that's great for protection for your building, but you potentially will be on an island because property lines won't protect you from sea level rise. And it really is important to come up with a comprehensive plan and how we look at protecting different parts of our city. We're going to pay for this by we made a commitment today to put 10% of our capital spending every year towards resiliency. We already dedicated in the last couple of capital budgets over $232 million in climate preparedness and open space projects. That number is going to increase in the future. We have some private developers like 150 Seaport, who's doing a building down there, that have expanded the harbor walk and allow the opportunity for protection on sea level rise and on the waterfront. We have philanthropists like the Bar Foundation making major investments in the city with parks and open space. This is going to be a uniform conversation between all of us that we need to continue to move forward. We don't have a timeline to say when this will be completed by, but we have a plan now, and we're going to take our plan now and start to implement the plan by making that $232 million investment that I've already talked about and really starting to plan out different areas. So, for example, in the North End, we have a plan already for some park space in the North End. We don't have a plan per se for Moakley Park. We have an idea, and we're in the beginning of a planning process. We've set aside money in the budget to plan that out. So as we think about planning, redesigning Moakley Park, a component of that now, a major component, will be resiliency. Some people might not even understand what we're doing there, but we're creating an opportunity as the tide comes in through Carson Beach, Moakley Park will be there to protect the community from that rising tide.
What about cost estimate for the total part of this project? If we're talking about city money, we're talking about private money, I'm assuming state money. Yeah. What's total?
I don't have a cost because it's going to change. I mean, you're talking about, if we could do the plan all in the next 5 years, the cost will be significantly different than it will be if it's over a 20-year period. And it's one of those things that I'm not ready yet to say what the cost will be, because a lot of places we don't have the plan for the specifics of what's needed in certain areas. We applied for a FEMA grant of $10 million. That money would help us design a four-point channel. And once that designation is done, we have two options there. One is to do a short-term fix, which would cost anywhere from $20 to $50 million. And a long-term fix would probably be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So, again, it's going to change as we think about what areas and what entry points of the city that we're looking at.
So what do you expect will be most challenging?
I'm not sure at this point. I think that today was an important step in having a conversation with the business community. I think the speech was well received by folks. I think people understand the urgency of taking action now for future generations of Bostonians, I think, and for the future of our city. And I think that, as we think about, I've already had some folks come up to me and saying, we're all in. We want to be part of this. We had the philanthropic community there. Amos Hostetler was there and his wife Barbara, and they were pleased, I think, with the conversation that we had today, as far as coming up with a plan. I think the first step in any type of of movement is having an understanding of what's needed and the urgency of that and the plan, and we have that now. And now the next step is implementation of this plan.
So you're saying the city's applying for that $10 million. Will that sort of kickstart all of this?
No, we already have we've already invested $232 million in preparedness in our capital budget over the last couple of years. So we've been doing this for a long time. This is much more of a long-term complete vision of the Inner Harbor. And there's so much more that you know, reducing carbon emissions and looking at all the other pieces that we can do here in the city. And then working with our neighbors in the north and the south about coming up with resilient plans all along the seacoast, not just here in Boston, but up and down the seacoast here in Massachusetts.
The timeline for all elements of this plan is what, the next 50 years?
I think it would have to be much earlier than 50 years. You know, the UN report was talking about concerns of 2040. The flood maps and the flood conversations are 2070. So I think that we'd have to have it done much earlier than that.
Okay. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We want to turn now to WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who was at the Chamber of Commerce event today. Bruce, how do you think people reacted to the mayor's speech? He said it went well.
Well, he did. He's right. I was there. There were about 700 people attending the breakfast. This was Walsh's fifth time talking to the group. And after this speech, I was surprised. People got up and gave him a standing ovation. There was also a woman I spoke to afterwards. Her name was Kathy Abbott. She's president and CEO of a group called Boston Harbor Now. So they have a direct link and interest in this. They work with public agencies and communities and companies to, quote, make Boston a world-class coastal city.
I could not have imagined a better speech, and I've never heard the mayor give a better speech than this one. He's really fired up on this. He sees the threat and the opportunity, which is incredibly exciting, but also very daunting.
Yeah, definitely daunting. I mean, this is tremendous ambitions. I'm not sure if you heard it in your conversation with the mayor now. I think he may be tired because he's been talking about this for a lot.
One part of the mayor's resilience strategy that was missing was an idea that has been floated to build this sort of movable harbor wall. What happened to that?
Well, the mayor put the kibosh on that. Yesterday he told me that it was science fiction. He based his decision on the results of a study, actually, Deb, funded by the Boston Green Ribbon Committee. By chance, just met John Cleveland after the breakfast. He's head of the CEO network that's involved in the city's climate strategy.
The harbor barrier just doesn't pan out from a cost-benefit point of view. It doesn't solve the problem of chronic flooding from incremental sea level rise. It's a storm surge solution, but as the waters just go higher because the tides go higher, it doesn't solve that problem. And to solve that problem, you'd have to close the whole harbor off, and that just like really doesn't work.
So no harbor barrier, that's out. But what about other concerns? Were there concerns from the folks there?
A lot, yeah. As the mayor explained, this is a really ambitious project. It's a far-reaching strategy, right? So there's lots of moving pieces. This pulls those pieces all together. And as he said, Boston is an island. There are cities and communities up and down the coast that need to get involved. And that raises some very, very basic questions. I talked to Eve Torre. She's the director of sustainability programs at Better City. It's a membership organization of, I think, something like 130 large Boston businesses. And they came together over the big dig.
Things that I'm most interested in seeing next steps on is who's going to govern it. We're part of a region. We're part of the state. So who's the governance of that? What does that governance look like? That's what I'm waiting to hear.
And what about the money? There's no clear price tag on this, as the mayor just told us, Bruce. And he is going to look to the business community for some money here. Do you think people are on board with the way that this would be financed?
Well, there are a lot of pieces, as you say, and it's over a long period of time. And it's going to, you know, there's inflation to account for and the cost of money to account for. So he's probably right not to put a price tag on it because there's so many moving pieces. So it's incremental. He is going to dedicate, as he said, the capital fund of 10% a year. It's about $15 to $20 million a year. He's got the $232 in the bank already. But people are going to have to kick in. There's going to be philanthropies going to have to kick in, private companies, nonprofits. nonprofit's going to have to kick in. It's going to take, and then the state and the feds, and the feds are going to be very reluctant. But as the, you know, as the mayor said, you know, you pay me now or you pay me later. It's the cost of doing nothing against climate change. That's unacceptable. How much is it going to cost to bail out, to, you know, to drain the big dig and the tunnels if they flood?
Mm. So what happens next here, Bruce?
Well, the mayor's in sales mode. You know, he's got to sell his vision. He's generated buzz definitely today. As I said, I think his speech was very well received. But, he's got to figure out, how to keep the sustain the momentum.
All right. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, ahead of Boston's Asian American Film Festival, we talk about the evolution of Asian American films with a star from the movie The Joy Luck Club. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.